So this is Brian here, one of us, .net, and we're sitting with Noah Segan, who many of you will probably know as Kid Blue from Looper, and was also on a recent very monumental episode of Breaking Bad. And Noah and I, about a year and a half now, did an interview just kind of spur of the moment about, you know, you being a working actor and the logistical difficulties you face with that. So it's a year and a half later, and... tell us what's changed.
Is it a year and a half or is it a year?
Well, it was last South By, so it was, yeah.
Was it South By or was it Fantastic? It was Fantastic.
Oh, it was Fantastic.
It was
you're right. So it's been a year, yeah. So
a year and a day.
It's been a year and a day. Aw, it's an anniversary. So, yeah, tell us what's new. Is anything, you know, as far as what you've been doing and the challenges you've been facing, has anything sort of changed one way or the other?
Well, I think... more than anything, what has changed has been my perspective, which is, you know, as I get on in years, I realize the only thing that
or at least
really
get on in an additional year.
Get on in a year. That's the only thing I think that can really change, you know, that you can count on. It's how much you've changed, right?
Right.
How much your perspective has changed.
Sure.
You know, I think it's an interpretation of the foundation, so to speak. You know, the foundation that brought me to you last year was a desire to be with the people that I like.
Yeah.
And
because you did that on your own dime, of your own volition. That wasn't something the studio set up. You just came down to support Ryan and support the movie.
I just was involved with people and a movie that I loved and had an opportunity to share that with people that I loved.
Yeah.
So, you know, that I think is the foundation, right? That's the philosophy. That's the thing that you hold on to.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I think that that gave me a lot of confidence. And for a long time, I interpreted that confidence as almost resting on laurels, right? You know, because you go, well, I've got laurels.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
You know, some of us can only dream of having laurels.
You know, on those rare occasions, you know, where you find a laurel, you lay your ass down on it. And I think that what has changed so profoundly recently has been... The galvanization, the injection to instead look at that as a reason to work harder.
Gotcha, yeah.
You know, the Michael Caine school of filmmaking where, you know, you show up.
Mm-hmm.
And you show up and you show up and you show up because it is what you do. You know, and I think that, you know, that has been, you know, the desire to be prolific.
Yeah.
Is something that... really tests one's confidence.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you were talking about, I remember you saying something the other night that kind of struck me, is, you know, having other people in your industry, other, you know, even, you know, some of the people that we would recognize going to these festivals and seeing these films, you know, you mentioned Pat Healy had been sort of a mentor to you.
Yeah, Pat came into my life this last year, and I'd always looked up to him, just knowing his work and knowing that, you know, he'd been very prolific, and, you know, he's a brilliant writer, and he's done many different things in many different aspects of the industry. And he recently, we met, and he took me under his wing, and, you know, everything from just what we're able to do as actors and run lines and prepare material and talk about auditions and things like that, you know, all the way to sort of sharing this kind of goodwill philosophy. He's been a great inspiration, and these are the people that you know, much like Ryan, much like you, much like, you know, everybody else at this festival, you have to sort of embrace that you're all part of a larger family.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you do that, you that expansion can only win.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, to really put stock in that means that if you continue to expand it, then you will continue to be part of a winning team.
Right.
Because then that's the only team that there is.
The team gets big enough that, yeah, you're the only team playing.
Exactly,
in the
league. Yeah. It's like, yeah, this is, yeah, there is no us or them. There is only us, you know?
Yeah. Well, here again, I mean, this is a great example of I think, how you're on a very unique and special track here, is that you, once again, have come to Fantastic Fest to participate in the debates, which was amazing. And I thought you bringing visual aids of yourself as a youngster was a... I mean, for those of you who don't know, the topic they were debating is basically pretty people in movies. And, you know, whether that was destroying, whether Noah Segan, gentlemen like Noah Segan, are destroying independent film with their prettiness, which, I mean, even if he's right, that's kind of an awesome, you know, slam. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. It's like you're destroying movies with your beauty.
Sort of
like,
definition of a backwards compliment.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly. But, I mean, you came down just to participate in that, hang out with, you know, with people and be
I
closer.
I get to be a juror this
and,
year.
And be a juror,
is, you know,
yeah.
Which is, you know, I almost got the impression, talking to a lot of people who were repeat offenders here at Fantastic Fest, that you know, being a juror or programming is often a consolation for not having a film screening. And as far as consolations go, mm-hmm. it's a great honor.
Yeah.
Because now all of a sudden, you're able to be involved in the actual process of the flow of the festival.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you actually get to change gears. You actually are behind a wheel, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, so there wasn't anything conciliatory about it. It was almost more pressure to be here and actually have a job to do, man.
Right, right.
Actually have to...
And to represent, you know, the festival. And,
yeah,
you know.
Man, yeah. It, great, great honor. And then, of course, the debates and being part of the feud was just, you know...
Yeah.
It was another great privilege to, again, be a distinct part,
yeah,
of an event and a series of events that make a difference to people. You,
yeah,
know, it's like I get to entertain, you know, and to a degree, you know, I think we, you know, the debates are performance, right? The feud is performance, and
yeah,
it's an opportunity to sort of perform with people.
Sure, absolutely.
You know, and prove that I'm a real geek, man.
Well, yeah, and there's the other part of that too. It's like You're being welcomed into the Fantastic Fest family, which is an honor in and of itself, but also there's the fact that even from a year ago, Drafthouse Films has become sort of a leader in, you know, independent cinema and getting,
yeah,
the good word about these smaller films out there. So from a certain perspective, it's like there's also that benefit. It's like you being welcomed sort of into the fold means that now there's extra attention on your projects and, you know, what you might do going forward.
Well, I'd like to think it's an example,
yeah,
of that family getting bigger. You,
yes,
know what I mean? When you start realizing that, you know, that obviously Harry and Tim founded the festival. Tim is now distributing films. He's,
mm-hmm,
opening more, you know, they're opening more theaters.
Yeah.
You know, I am hopefully acting in movies that not only will have a chance to play at the festival, but may have a chance to be exhibited and distributed by Drafthouse, you know, and you know, I like I said, I think it's just a sense of all of these lines being blurred to the point where you just go, no, we're all in it together.
Exactly.
You know, and I think that often makes up for, you know, the real life logistics.
Sure.
And all of a sudden, you know, I come to find that the real life logistics don't matter.
Yeah.
Because we have a purpose and we have a unit.
Yeah. So like the individual pitfalls might not seem as crushing because you're always moving toward, you know, that goal and that expansion.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you like everyone, you know, you get comfort,
yeah,
by belonging. You get, you, mm-hmm, know, you get comfort by feeling like you are a part of something.
And, like you're one of us, as it were.
Gobble gobble.
Well, let me ask you this, as far as, you know, just, you know, because there's a lot of stuff that we as film fans and even as journalists don't see as far as behind the scenes for you. So take me through, you know, you go into an audition, what are the things you're thinking, like what are the crazy, even like superficial things you're thinking of, like this person looks like this, so I might have to compete with them on that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I you know, I...
And you don't have to mention any films by name that you've auditioned for, but you know.
No, you know, I've had some, you know, a few auditions in the last year, not many, you,
mm-hmm,
know, you know, it's not difficult to be constantly reminded how competitive our business is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether you're writing and you're in competition for those hits,
yeah,
or you're, you know, acting and you're in competition for a role. However, I think, you know, I would like to think, and I would like to think the same for you, that, you know, the person who gets the hit next to you, the person who gets the role next to me,
mm-hmm,
it's really not competition. It's really that's their hit. That's their role.
Right.
Right. You know, and if
like they're best suited to get that thing.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you sort of have to accept that that's that's the way that it is because that's the way that it is. It's the way it's supposed to be. It wasn't you because it's not supposed to be you. It'll be you next time. It'll be you five times from now.
It's a very Zen approach.
I hope so. I mean, I'm sort of I'm saying it and I kind of am starting to believe it. But, you know, I go, you know, I go into, you know, I go into an audition and I, you know, a lot of actors don't audition well. You know, often I've talked to a lot of filmmakers. You can probably guess two or three of them, not by name, who have all basically said the same thing, which is that the casting process sucks, and auditioning is a mediocre at best way to determine if someone is going to play the role correctly.
Yeah.
Mostly what it is a filmmaker with confidence, a filmmaker who knows what he wants to do, he or she will look for the X factor. They're looking for that character to walk in the door.
Right.
You know, and yeah, there may be a certain academic process to it. There may be, you know, a shorthand. We know the same movies. We have the same inspirations. Maybe there is something to the performance that's very specific that you hadn't thought of or that you're looking for and hadn't articulated. But by and large, you know, these people know what they want, and it's something that is ethereal.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hope that's the right word.
No, 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 you're
right. I think
right.
It is. I think it is. I'm a ninth grade education, so, you know, bear with me. But, you know, so that what that does is it makes the process of auditioning very nerve-wracking. Mm-hmm. And most actors, when they sort of come to that realization, they go, well, wait, you mean I don't have any control? You mean it doesn't matter, really?
Yeah. Like, you know? It's completely nebulous. You don't know from one audition to another, you know, what it is they're looking for. Right. I mean, that's got to be the most frustrating part is... And you know, and it's again the same with you know with what I do. It's like I don't really know. I try to follow the trends as best I can as far as what people are clicking on and what people are into right now. But there are two parts to that. One is that I'm not always up on that. I don't always know what it is specifically they're looking for. And secondly, sometimes what they're looking for is not what I do. Sometimes what they're looking for is not what you do.
Exactly. And you know, and sometimes their definition of profundity is not your definition of profundity.
Right.
You know what I mean? This is, you know, when you look at you know, where pop journalism has gone, where, you know, everything is a list. Everything is, you know, the top 20 reasons why, you know, you're an asshole. And you go, wait a minute, that's not journalism.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you know, I guess in you know, from my end, that's sort of, you know, that's stylistic choices. That's saying, well, this is the type of thing where they want to see me do this. Well, of course, you know, if you're a rebel, you know, if you're punk rock, you want to do the exact opposite, and you want them to know you're doing the exact opposite, and you want that to be a profound, palpable statement.
Yeah.
Well, that probably won't work because that's not how cliche works. Man, cliche works by being right often.
Right. It'll work for you in terms of staying true to yourself. It might not help you get the role, however. Right. Yeah.
And you know, and that's a heavy balance, you know.
And in your world, like the you were talking about pop journalism, I think in your world that would be the kind of thing where it's like, oh, we're going to cast this person because we'll be guaranteed another $10 million in box office just from their name being on the poster. Like, that's the same sort of, to me, like, that's the same as the, on the same scale as the pop journalism. It's just, like, it's completely superficial. It doesn't really add anything to the art. It's just, you know, it's the eye-catching thing.
Well, that being said, I think, you know, you know, there are great actors that make millions of dollars for acting in movies.
Sure,
you know,
they do. Yeah.
You know, and there are great journalists who are published in very widely circulating publications.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know that that's the litmus test. I think that the litmus test has to become the definition of what you really want to do.
Sure.
You know, and if. You know, if your satisfaction is to cover Fantastic Fest and meet like-minded individuals and spread the word and have a healthy discussion, well, there's not a lot of money in it, but that can be very satisfying.
It's incredibly satisfying.
And, you know, I think that, you know, after having a really fun experience being in a really big movie last year that a lot of people saw that, you know, still managed to sort of bridge the gap between this world and that world.
Right.
I've been able to make a decision. And I think that the actual decision was this, you know, and
was to stay in sort of the independent world.
I think to put stock in the independent world and to understand what that really means, which is a great familial sense of creativity and excitement. And put a lot of faith in that.
Yeah.
And, you know, hopefully have that expanded. There's really no reason why there are mutual exclusivities. I think that, you know, that we create that as a sense of protection.
Sure.
You know, the us versus them.
Exactly.
There is not us versus them. The fact that Ryan could make a movie like Looper and that people could go see it and the fact that it was popular is illustrative of that. You know, I was just hanging out with Eugenio and we're talking about Grand Piano. Grand Piano is another great example of that. You know, it's a film that is about loving movies. It's a film that speaks cinematic language.
Yeah.
You know, and for it to be done in a way that our parents can enjoy it, that we as film geeks can enjoy it, that hopefully people who, you know, just want to see something exciting can enjoy it. You know, it covers so many bases. I think that that's the end goal, is to expand, not to contract.
Yeah. So what you're saying essentially is that sort of the independent world for you has become more of a home to embrace as opposed to like a springboard to get from one place to another.
Yeah, I don't think it's a place. I think it's a state of mind that can be applied to anything. Because what are you really talking about? You're talking about a familial vibe.
Absolutely.
You know, you're talking about
a community.
A community. You're talking about a sense of goodwill. You're talking about a sense of sharing. These are things that are not withstanding any particular environment.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, we should be so lucky as to have a wide platform and all the money in the world so that we can fucking share it.
Yeah. Totally.
You know, so that helps me deal with the reality that the logistics between this year and last have not really changed. You know, only that perspective has changed.
So, I mean, I guess you've kind of answered this question already, but just to kind of put a fine point on it, you know, from last year to this year, you know, the things that have changed for me is, you know, the websites I was working for lost money.
Yep.
I was put in a very awkward financial position where I could either choose to go back to work at a day job and stop creating, or take the much more risky venture of starting my own website, which is exactly what I did because I'm a fool. But there's a tremendous amount of satisfaction. I really love what I'm doing right now. It's not anything that I'm going to be able to make bank off of, but it's, you know, just being able to create and share things, as you were saying, with people. How do you feel, you know, from last year to this year, do you feel creatively satisfied, or is it still sort of, you know, you've mentioned this change in mentality, but do you still have those kind of lingering concerns about the next gig?
Well, of course, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I don't have the next gig, and, you know, as absolutely satisfying as the couple things that I've worked on since Looper have been, you know, I you know, didn't really make any money, you know, because there wasn't a lot of money to be made.
Sure.
It wasn't anybody else got paid. It wasn't, you know, again, it's not us versus them. It's just us.
Just
you know,
us,
it's just us. And you know, and that's a life that I chose. I think, you know, that there's the stereotypical answer, which is you cannot ever be satisfied, right? And so, you know, does being your own boss satisfy you? Well, then don't be your own boss.
Sure.
You know what I mean? The only reason to do it yourself is so that you can strive towards being prolific.
Absolutely.
And I think that, you know, if anything, this contraction, your business, my business, that overlapping bridge that we have between us.
That weird Venn diagram we live in.
Exactly. Yeah. Has illustrated that the only way that you can sort of shore up your security is to, in quotes, be your own boss. And what that means is not to simply rest on the thing that you did and how specific it is and how wonderful it is. It may be, but again, there are no mutual exclusivities, you know. I love movies. I feel like I know a lot about movies. I feel like I know a lot about certain parts of how to make a movie. The parts that I don't know, I know people that know how to do that. And I think, you know, well, does that then mean that I have an obligation to expand what I do?
Yeah.
You know, do I have to make a movie? Do I have to write about movies? Do I have to help shoot a movie? Do I, you know what I mean? Any of these things, you know, again, there's no mutual exclusivities there. Seymour Cassell was a camera assistant on Easy Rider. You're going to have to look that up and make sure that that's true, but I think that's the case. Please fact check that, because that's a fact that I go back to often. So hopefully I didn't just stick my foot totally in my mouth. But, you know, that's what we have to do. And so, again, I mean, I think that we have to learn how to find comfort in that. Whether that's because we're part of a bigger community and we have people that we can lean on for support, or whether it just means that we keep moving. Because if you keep moving, you forget how tired and hungry and lonely you are.
So in other words, be your own boss, but be a taskmaster and an asshole. Like, always be pushing yourself no matter what.
Be your own asshole.
Exactly.
Don't be an asshole to anyone else, but be your own asshole.
I think that is an amazing way to end this. Be your own asshole. That's what Noah Segan says. Thank you so much, man. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Always happy.